So you guys can start turning to John chapter 12 this morning. I'm sure you guys may have realized by now that it is Palm Sunday today. So back before I was saved, I got to thinking, I had no clue what Palm Sunday meant when I saw it on the calendar. Come on, I can't be the only one, right? You just see it, on the calendar and it just says Palm Sunday. And it makes absolutely no sense. And even once I was saved, it really didn't get me until it was explained what Palm Sunday is. See, Palm Sunday, it commemorates and celebrates Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem for his final week as a human. John 12, starting at verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said amongst themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." May God bless the reading of his word. See, as Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, there was a lot of enthusiasm. You know, they celebrated Jesus coming. They were excited about what Jesus was doing. They all came out to see what was going on. They came out to see what Jesus had done, the people that he had saved already, the people that he had delivered from, whatever it was. Right before Jesus started his trip from Bethany to Jerusalem is when he raised Lazarus from the dead. See, back then, nobody would have believed that somebody was raised from the dead after being dead for 4 days. Even still today, people wouldn't believe it. But it was something that there was no doubt that anybody could say that it was anything other than straight from what God could do. The people who watched Jesus perform the miracle, where all he did was just walked up to the tomb and spoke forth for Lazarus to come forth. He didn't even lay a finger on him, he just spoke it. And they watched him struggle out in his grave clothes. They couldn't help but proclaim what they saw. The crowds were getting excited that day. They had already heard of some of the other things that Jesus had done, and this was no different. In verse 13 there, the crowds were crying out part of the Messianic Psalms, specifically Psalm 118:26, if you're taking notes. And he said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." We sang it this morning ourselves. Hosanna. Hosanna. It's an exclamation of adoration. The crowds erupted, shouting in adoration. In Mark 11, starting in verse 9, he says, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They were shouting it. They were singing it. They were praising God. They were praising Jesus. there's no doubt there was excitement in the air. Some people may not have even realized that Jesus did these things until they got out to see the crowds and got out to see what was going on, until they heard the reports. And then they got even more excited. So between Bethany and Jerusalem, there's a village called Bethpage. And it's on the way, it's about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. So you know, at 2 miles away, some of the young men had to be running ahead, proclaiming that Jesus was coming. Just getting the crowds wound up, knowing that Jesus was on his way. See, Bethphage is where Jesus got the donkey to ride in on. So he went from walking to Jerusalem to riding in on a donkey. Everybody was coming out to see Jesus. The crowds, everybody in the town was coming out to see Jesus coming into town. Some of them probably getting out there, hey, what's going on here? Oh, hey, Jesus is coming. Who's Jesus? Well, you didn't hear? He's given people blind the ability to see. He's brought people back to life that were dead. In many of your Bibles, this passage is probably referred to as the triumphal entry. So if you guys don't know what a triumph is, I know I've spoke about it in the past, but a triumph, back in the Roman time, when a Roman general would go out to battle and have a great victory, they would give him a triumph. They would get a procession coming back into town proclaiming what great victory he just did, what great victory they just had. People would be shouting and praising him. They would also bring forth the captives that they brought back from whatever city they conquered. They would have people carrying the spoils that they had taken from that area. They would come in a chariot being pulled by 4 big white war horses. You know, Jesus came with his own version of triumph. People were shouting and praising. He was showing them the captives that he had set free. You know, you had Lazarus proclaiming what Jesus had done for him. You had blind Bartimaeus, that Jesus had healed him from his sight, from blindness, and gave him his sight back on the way back there to Jerusalem. Mary Magdalene, who was delivered from all the demons that she had, she was marching with them. She was telling everybody what the wonderful things that God had done for her. Jesus was showing the spoils that he's just giving away, not taking for himself. Showing the healings, the deliverances, the joy that he brought forth. And he's riding on a young donkey. I don't know if you guys have ever done this or not, but when you read a passage, you can look at that whole thing from a number of different views. There are a lot of different people there. Let's look at it from the Roman soldiers first. So the Romans, you know they had to see all this happening too. There was a lot of noise. The city was in uproar. The Romans, they did not want people getting excited, they wanted to maintain their control. The Romans, they saw this procession. They knew exactly what this meant. They had to be on alert with Jesus arriving like this. When the Romans saw this, they instantly thought triumph. They understood that he had to have had great victories over his enemies. That he had to have conquered something great here. I'm sure some of the soldiers that witnessed this ran back to tell the generals and other commanding officers of Jesus coming to town. One of the things that Jesus did here by riding on the donkey was proclaiming himself as king. You know, there are a lot of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled before he was crucified. And one of those is found in Zechariah 9, starting in verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, the colt, a foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Jesus rode in on a donkey, not a war horse. See, if a king came on a horse, he came for battle. If he came in on a donkey, he came in peace. Everybody that day, they were looking for a triumphant warrior king to break them out of the bondage that they had to the Romans that day. But Jesus came in peace. The crowds, you know, the crowds, they look at that triumphant entry and they were welcome as a king, though. They recognized the need for the Savior. Many of them had hoped their whole life to be witness of the Messiah. They had hoped to find the one that would deliver them. They knew that this man, Jesus, had to have been sent by God. They were throwing their coats on the path, proclaiming Jesus as king. They were laying down tree branches, proclaiming him as king. They had an action that they did, accepting him that day. But so many were so focused on the desire to be freed from Rome that that is what their hope was for. But they all had hope that day in the crowd. They saw Jesus and they saw hope. Although they were looking at deliverance from Rome, Jesus had so much more for them than they could ever believe. Their view was so small, though, and focused on the immediate battle, that they didn't realize that Jesus was coming to deliver them from their own sin. Also in that crowd that day were Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees, they saw Jesus as a threat. The Pharisees were so highly educated, though, in the Scripture. They should have joined in the celebration and been shouting and pointing to the prophecies that Jesus was fulfilling. They should have been pointing to the scroll of Zechariah. They should have been pointing to every miracle that he was doing and where it was said that he would do that miracle. But instead, many of them saw Jesus as a threat to their way of life. They didn't want to give up what they knew so well. In fact, they were so afraid of Jesus and what he meant that they wanted to get rid of the evidence of all the signs that Jesus had been doing. Lazarus being raised from the dead. That word is not something that can be kept quiet. Right? So, somebody gets raised from the dead, that kind of word is going to spread. First thing that the chief priest wanted to do that day, kill Lazarus. If Lazarus isn't alive, hey, where's your proof? They wanted to silence and take the focus off of Jesus and keep themselves in that status that they had grown to love so much. If they got rid of that walking, talking testimony of what Jesus did, they knew it might be able to pull people back away from Jesus. We ended what we read there in John 12, in verse 19, saying, "The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" The Message translation puts it this way. The Pharisees took one look and threw up their hands. It's out of control. The world is in a stampede after him. The Passion Translation. But the Pharisees were disturbed by this and said to each other, "We won't be able to stop this." According to the Aramaic, it's actually, "See, you have lost your influence. The whole world is going to run after him." For the Pharisees, this was a direct blow to their hope. They knew they had to get desperate. They knew they had to ramp up that attempt to destroy Jesus. Little did they realize they were going to help fulfill God's plan for salvation through Jesus. In one of the other Gospels, it's kind of funny because in a desperation of attempt from the Pharisees, they were hoping that maybe Jesus himself would tell people to stop praising him. Luke 19, in verse 39. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answers and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." See, even if people hadn't said anything, all of God's creation would recognize Jesus as king that day. Some of the Pharisees, though, I don't think they were quite to this point that others were. I think there were some other Pharisees in the crowd that they actually saw it pointing back to Scripture. They saw how Jesus was filling some of those prophecies. And they realized that they were put at some crossroads in their life that day. You know, we also have the disciples in that crowd. They're walking with Jesus along the road. They're amongst Lazarus. They're amongst Mary Magdalene. They're with blind Bartimaeus. What would they be thinking on this day? You know, Jesus had warned them multiple times that he was going to be killed in Jerusalem. But I doubt any of them were thinking about it on the road in. There was so much excitement about going to Jerusalem. This was coming up on the Passover. The celebration, the big feast commemorating how God delivered Israel from Egypt by passing death over each of their households because they were covered in blood. This was the Super Bowl of feast to them. You know, they knew there would be large crowds. They knew that Jesus would be doing miracles in front of so many people. I can just see Thomas, doubting Thomas, coming alongside Thaddeus and talking to him. "Hey, you know, I don't know if this is such a good idea. See, Jesus just raised a guy from the dead after he was dead for 4 days. Do you think he knows what he's doing? Because, you know, now if somebody gets their sight back, it almost seems small compared to that." I could see Simon the Zealot. If you're not familiar with what a zealot is, zealots were so engrossed with overthrowing Rome, they were looking for a military leader to deliver Israel. I think he probably was thinking, "Hey, this might actually be the time they're welcoming in as king. He's going to turn and start being militant and deliver us from Rome." And there are others that I know they probably, they had been wanting to proclaim Jesus as King, proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Savior of Israel for so long. But Jesus wasn't wanting things to be that widely known of him yet, because he was going to come against great persecution for it. So there were others, I'm sure they were thinking, is this really the time? We're really doing this. It's really happening. This is public now. These people are welcoming him as king. Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom the whole time they've been together. They were thinking that he's finally establishing his kingdom here on earth. Little did they know how true this was. You know who else was there that day? Jesus. Jesus. Let's think about it from Jesus' view. Jesus, he was coming there. He was coming to Jerusalem with a purpose. A very specific purpose. Before he commanded his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ, now he's telling everyone to proclaim him as such. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Again in Matthew 20, verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify, and the third day he will rise again." Jesus already told the disciples here that this is why he must go to Jerusalem. See, everybody else saw this triumphal entry as him being proclaimed king, but he knew this entry was actually his funeral procession. That he was going there to give the greatest sacrifice of all, his very own life. As Jesus rode in that day on the donkey, he was looking at the people that were cheering, and he was moved to tears over what he was seeing, looking at the people. Luke 19, verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Riding on that donkey, he was coming for peace. They were wanting to make him king, though, but he was coming to make things right in the world. He was coming to deliver the people, not from the Romans, but from their own sin. Jesus was coming to be their king, but not a king to war against nations on the earth, but to bring peace on the earth. His warfare that he would be defeating was not as an earthly king, but he defeated the enemy in the spiritual realm. He didn't come to abolish the law that the Pharisees were wanting to uphold, but to fulfill it. Jesus didn't come to end the Romans' way of life, but to give them the opportunity to receive eternal life. There's one more set of eyes that we need to look at this through. That's our own. We can see Jesus' entry into Jerusalem long after he had entered that week in Jerusalem. But we can also find ourselves getting into the same traps that the various groups fell into that week. We might be expecting God to do something that was never in his plan to do. We might find ourselves holding on to traditions or what we think it should be like, missing what God is doing right in front of us. The same people who were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David!" at the beginning of the week, they were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" towards the end of the week. See, God has allowed us to have our eyes open to see what he's wanting to do today. If only we'll pay attention to him. So often, I think Jesus is looking at us and weeping because of our view of what he came to do for us. We're looking at him to get out of what's right in front of us, to get out of what's going wrong right in front of our eyes. But his focus was to remove our sin from us and deliver us from that. He came to give us eternal life and restore the kingdom of God here on the earth. So yes, they ushered in Jesus as king that day, but we continue to praise him as king today. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for what you are doing. Jesus, we thank you for the triumphal entrance that you had that day, God. Lord, we recognize you as king. Lord, we recognize you as the one who is on the throne. Lord, we recognize your kingdom as well, Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful that you came as king. That you came, that you have authority over all things, over all of creation. Lord, help us recognize the authority you have given us. Help us recognize the authority you've given us as ambassadors to your kingdom, God. Lord, we pray against every force that is coming against everybody in this room. We pray against every force that is making it difficult for us, Lord. We thank you that in your infinite wisdom, God, you gave us yourself to comfort us. You gave us one that's exactly like you, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, Lord, that is right here with us right now. Lord, we thank you that you have not forgotten us, that you have not forsaken us. Lord, we proclaim your name as we go forth this week. Lord, this is a wonderful time that we're able to witness for you, Lord. Let us not lose sight of that, God. Lord, help us stay focused on you and your kingdom. Help us stay focused on what you are wanting to do. Lord, we thank you for the people that you will put in our paths this week, even God. Lord, that we might be able to proclaim your name amongst them. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We love you. It's in your name we pray, God. Amen. Amen.